Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. And actually, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be here until midnight tonight. That's why we call it Late Night with Pastor Al, Live with Pastor Al. Not to be confused with Live with Pastor Al, which I do on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons here in our home station, AM 1220 The Word here in northeastern Ohio. But you can find that one online doing a brain freeze here. WHKWradio.com. That's what I'm trying to think of. That's our Friday afternoon program. But this is Sunday night, so it's Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're glad to have you with us here tonight. You can visit us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well on Facebook. And you just go to Facebook. You can search for us, Live with Pastor Al. You'll find us there. And you can watch us on Facebook Live as well. As you can listen on the air, watch us on Facebook Live, listen online at either WHKWradio.com tonight, out of here in northeastern Ohio, or letstalkfaith.com out of Tampa, Florida for AM or for Faith Talk 570-910 WTBN there in Tampa. And that's our sister stations there in addition to AM 1220 here at WHKW here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I believe it's 1440 in WHKZ in Warren, Ohio. So that gets us around quite a bit there. But we're glad to have you with us tonight. It's windy here. I don't know about where you're at, but getting blown around on the highway coming into the station here tonight. We've got some front moving through, and it's dropping the temperatures. We had an absolutely gorgeous day here in northeastern Ohio yesterday, and temperatures were up in the mid-70s. We took a drive, my wife and I, and we thought we'd see some of the fall leaves changing, because usually the second week in October here in northeastern Ohio, they're about at their peak. But I'm just amazed at the sheer number of green leaves that are still on the trees. My fear is that one day we're going to drive out there and they're all going to turn brown and fall off, and we'll miss all the nice fall colors. But there are some sections, though, where there are some nice reds and oranges and yellows and things appearing. So I have high hopes that we'll yet get some good colors, but if it's a trade-off between warm weather and good fall colors, I think I'm inclined to go with some of this nice warm autumn weather, the mild autumn weather that we've been having. It really, really has been enjoyable, and I guess that's changing. Temperatures dropping pretty rapidly from the 70s down into the 50s pretty quickly here late afternoon and evening. Hope it's nice where you're at, and if you're out on the roads and you're in these areas where this front is going through, it's pretty extensive. This frontal system is extending from the Great Lakes, I believe, all the way down into Texas is what it's doing. So chances are, if you're on the highways tonight, you're probably experiencing it in most of our listening area. So keep a grip on the wheel, and I hope you'll be safe. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here this evening. We're going to start with a word of prayer. And if you want to call tonight, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for another opportunity. We just thank you for a beautiful day today. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to serve you. Bless the program tonight. Help us be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage Christians in their walk with you. Use the program for your glory tonight, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we'll get into a couple of things here. Again, that phone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, or on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And we're going to get into a couple of things here tonight. Let me get turned over here. I was sharing with our church, and I was also talking a little bit on our Friday program, that there's been some really good things that have come out of this administration here recently. And one of them is the positive statements that have been made by President Trump in regards to some of our religious freedom and things. And in fact, President Trump went into the Value Voters Summit in Washington, D.C., and he gave a short speech there, and I don't have the entire transcript in front of me, but at the Family Research Council's Value Voters Summit on Friday, he is, by the way, the first sitting U.S. president to ever speak at the event. Now, that could be a momentous statement or a non-momentous statement. If the event's only been going for 2 years, that wouldn't be as momentous. But it's been going for a number of years. I'm not sure exactly how long it's been going. This means that we've not seen President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton. I'm not sure how far back it goes, if it goes back as far as the Reagan era or the first Bush era. But he's the first sitting president to speak at the Value Summit. And he said this. This is what I thought was really good, which he said. President Donald Trump said this at the Values Summit, Voters Summit on Friday. America is a nation of believers, and together we are strengthened and sustained by the power of prayer. We are one nation. We hurt together, and we hope together, and we heal together. And then he added this, and above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government. We worship God. Let me read that part again. And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. I love that statement because the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And Donald Trump is not a perfect individual, but we do know that, or we do have reason to believe, I should say, and I personally believe from things that I've seen coming out of him and some changes in his demeanor, that he did get saved shortly before his election to president, as president. And so he's a young Christian, a baby Christian. He's got a lot of bad traits and habits left over from living most of his life as an unsaved person. But he's recognizing something here. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. That's a tremendous statement. He's willing to call America a nation of believers, that we're strengthened and sustained by the power of prayer. And then, and this call for unity, we're one nation, we hurt together, we hope together, and we heal together. And this is a righteous statement in and of itself here, recognizing what the founders of this country recognize, that we're one nation under God, as it says in the Pledge of Allegiance. And and as we see in our founding documents, all the way back to the Declaration of Independence, and even some of the documents in some of the colonies and different writings that we have prior to the Revolution. But this is a nation that was founded by people who, not all of them were born-again believers, but they had the Judeo-Christian worldview. They recognized God, and they recognized that government was not God. It was not superior to God, but that God is superior to the government. God is more important than the government. Now, contrast that with some other countries, and I've got a caller calling in who I'll get to in just a moment here, but I remember back during the the 1980s when I was in the United States Air Force. We were keeping watch on the Soviet Union back during the Cold War era. And, the contrast between the United States under President Ronald Reagan and the Soviet Union under communism was just incredible. And one of them was that the communist state that the Soviet Union was, I say was because it dissolved. Now we have Russia and the Ukraine and Kazakhstan and places like that. But the Soviet Union as a communist entity, the state was essentially God, because the Communist Party and the Soviet Union were officially atheists, but in practice, the state was their God, and they worshiped the state, basically. And it's the same thing you have going on in North Korea right now. We have a despot in North Korea who actually, the state isn't so much God as Kim Jong-un, the chubby dictator there of North Korea. He is God in the eyes of the people, and they worship him as God. Now, there are a few, a very small, tiny minority, very persecuted minority of Christians inside of North Korea, and they are frequently persecuted and tortured, jailed, and even executed because they worship the God of the Bible, not the God of the state of North Korea. It's the same thing that caused Diocletian and Nero and others to persecute the Christians in the second century or thereabouts, because they wanted to be worshipped as God. These Roman Caesars did. They didn't mind if you worshipped other gods as long as you bowed to them and said that Caesar is God. And they the early Christians would not do that. They would not bow, so they were considered enemies of the state because they valued something above the state. And I like that President Trump recognized in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. This is a tremendous statement. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Ken calling in here tonight. Ken, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor Al.
Praise the Lord. Good to have you on.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines and praying for President Trump in his relationship with President Putin, because mm-hmm. President Putin has made many speeches along the same lines of saying the importance of Christian civilization and Christian morals,
mm-hmm.
the importance of the church. So we know he's in bed over there with the Russian Orthodox Church.
Oh, yeah, and that's so one of the heavily. Things he's using to consolidate his power in Russia.
Now,
is
Pastor Al, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
Could we say that it might be possible that there was an apostle that baptized a baby?
One of the apostles you're talking about, first century apostles from the
yeah, I'm talking about the 12 apostles.
I would say no.
Okay, now what about the references to the new circumcision? And Peter says the promise, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, for the promise is unto you and your children, and the numerous references to whole households being baptized. Could we say,
well, let's
trying to get some good relationships here? And
yeah, well, let's go back to Peter's comment first off, because that's one that's used sometimes, Let me read it, and you had referenced it there, and that was Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter, he was preaching a gospel message, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then here comes in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if that means that baptism is in order to receive the remission of sins, then every time I watched an old Western where they said, you know, Jesse James was wanted for murder, for bank robbery, or for train robbery, that meant they wanted to hire him. They wanted him to come in so that he could rob banks. But in those wanted posters, he was wanted because he had already robbed a bank. He was wanted because he already He had already robbed the train. He had already shot somebody. So they weren't wanted so that in order to do that, they were wanted because. So when I read there in verse 38, it's be baptized every one of you, not in order to receive the remission of sins, but because you've received the remission of sins. And okay, the disciples knew that.
You didn't read is the one that they would play upon, for the promise is unto you and to your children.
Yeah, but that's the next sentence getting here. The promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off. And then notice what the rest of the sentence says. Even as many as our Lord, the Lord our God shall call.
Now,
and of course, he's called all to be saved. And so then he again says, and with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, the promise was to them and to their children and all that are far off. That reaches down to you and I today, the descendants of the people who were alive at that time, and certainly afar off from the people at that time, and that if we will gladly receive his word, we can be saved and then be baptized because we're saved. But there's no record of any of the apostles ever baptizing infants.
They would say in the households.
Yeah, but in my household, there's two people and there's no infants.
Right.
When I was a teenager in our household, there was about, let's see, 4, 5, 6 people and no infants. Everybody was old enough to hear the word of God and be saved. So to say everybody in the household means infants, that's reading something in there that isn't necessarily there. That's an argument from silence.
When Paul makes the reference to the new circumcision buried with him in baptism, any Jew who would see that circumcision, they would think of an infant, right?
Well, they would think of a male infant, so what's that do for female infants? See, but and I do have other callers waiting to get on, but yeah, this question about did the apostles ever baptize infants? I would believe that they might have baptized small children, but it would have had to have been a child who was old enough to hear and understand the gospel message and receive
it. Well, is it possible that there was maybe an apostle that did partake of baptizing of whole households where there was an infant involved, and that there was other.
Well, if that's the case, it's not written in the scriptures, and if they did it, they did it contrary to the teaching of the gospel, because an infant child cannot confess their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. An infant child, if I witnessed to my granddaughter when she was an infant, she would have never been able to understand what I was saying, and I could have said, oh, I think she's saved and baptized her, and it would have been meaningless, because in order to be saved, you must, as an individual, call upon the name of the Lord. Your parents can't call on the name of the Lord for you. That's why the Catholic Church went to the foolish extent of having somebody stand up for the infant and say, when they would say, you know, do you believe, or whatever the ritual is, and the other person would answer for the baby, because the baby was just there. You have to be able to confess your sin. I cannot confess the sin of my children and then have them get saved just on my confessing their sin and having them baptized as an infant. The apostles knew that. The apostles understood that. And infant baptism was never practiced in the church until much later than the apostles. It crept in later, and with the rise of the state churches, there's certain people who began instituting it, and they made it a requirement eventually, but yes, the apostles never did that. If one did by chance baptize an infant, he did it contrary to the scripture, because that infant was never able to confess Christ as its Savior. A two-day-old or a two-month-old infant cannot trust Christ as their Savior. It's impossible. Now, when they get a little older, at certain ages, sometimes they are able at surprisingly young ages. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was about 9 years old. I know of some people that got saved at about 4, 5, 6 years old. I've even heard stories of people getting saved as young as 3 years old. And that's entirely possible whenever a child reaches the age of, you know, where they're able to understand the gospel message. But when we're talking infants, you know, toddlers and young children may, you know, we can argue the point there, but when we're talking infants, it's impossible for an infant to understand the gospel and trust Christ as their Savior. And,
okay,
and
for Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin for this, the direction of Christian civilization. Mr. Putin is just so convinced that this is what has brought good to our world.
Well, and yeah, and a lot of there's been a lot of unsaved people, even in the founding of our country, who understood that the Judeo-Christian view is what makes more sense and brings more order to the world than any other worldview. And Mr. Putin, of course, being a product of the KGB, he was of course, very active. I think he was a colonel in the KGB.
He was
an avowed atheist. He was an avowed atheist. Now,
he was baptized as a baby.
Doesn't matter. He was a baby. But he was an avowed atheist, or he would not have been in the KGB. That he had to admit, he had to claim to be an atheist and his, you know, loyalty tests and everything in order to become a part of the KGB. He couldn't have been a part of the KGB unless he was an avowed atheist. So whatever happened when he was a baby is immaterial. He didn't have any say in that. You know, I can take somebody that went to the priest when they were a baby and was baptized, and they probably don't even remember it.
Huh? He looks back affectionately that his mother took him to be baptized.
Well, that may well be, and he may well have come to an understanding and a belief in God. I would pray and hope that Mr. Putin is saved, but his track record indicates to me more that he has looked at riding the nationalism, and one of those things is the Russian Orthodox Church, and riding that as his way to maintain power in Russia, because he's endearing himself to the Russian people. He's going down the path of Russian nationalism. He switched horses from communism to nationalism. But, you know, we can argue about this all night and probably not get much further, but I do have another caller I got to squeeze in before the break here. So appreciate the call there tonight, Ken. And we're going to pick up Barb here tonight. And Barb, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. I've been sort of laying low. I wanted to ask you a couple questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not feeling too good tonight, so if I don't sound too great, it's I got some bad news. The doctor told me my arteries in my neck are closing.
Mm.
My right one, he said, was probably all the way closed. And my left one is not too good, so I need prayer. But that doesn't really bother me because I'm ready to go. What I want to know, I know you're a Baptist,
mm-hmm.
and I've always been brought up, and the reason I'm asking you this is because someone said something, I can't fathom, I can't get it in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
We were always taught, I began being brought up with Baptists, and we were always taught that there were three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what we call the Trinity or the Godhead.
When you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a well-known minister say that Jesus could look upon the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. If he, I believe that Jesus was God come in the flesh.
Absolutely.
And that they were three in one. But
well,
do they not believe in the Holy Ghost?
Not knowing exactly who and what their context, their comment was, I really couldn't answer that part of it. But you know, it's very clear. And if we run out of time here in this half hour, we can finish answering this in the next half hour. And I apologize to our Facebook listeners. I forgot that I didn't have the thing on so they could hear the callers earlier. But in 1 John chapter 5, and we have in verse 7 here, this is a tremendous statement. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Yes.
This is such a strong statement that in the modern versions of the Bible, they attack that, called a spurious verse, even though there's a wealth of manuscript evidence, a wealth of manuscripts and writings and quotes of this in Christian writings in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth centuries. But some Bibles, such as the New International Version, just flat out say, oh, there's no Greek manuscript before the 1600s or something, some nonsense like that. And they knew that wasn't true when they wrote that. But this is a strong statement. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? Now, I can look on myself. I hold my hand in front of my face. I'm looking on myself, right?
Right.
I can look in the mirror, and I can look at myself. But a good way to understand it, I like to tell people, is in the book of Genesis, and I know we're coming up on the break here pretty fast,
okay,
probably about 20 seconds. But in the book of Genesis, God said, let us create man in our image. And then he created in Genesis chapter 2, Adam from the dust of the earth, a body, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. There's a spirit, and he became a living soul, three in one. Picture of the Trinity. Hey, we'll pick this up after the break. Hold on, Barb, and don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com, on Facebook at Facebook with Live with Pastor Al. You can watch us online on our Facebook live broadcast. We're on there right now. And you can also go online if you're having trouble with the radio broadcast, the on-the-air broadcast. You can try logging in at, if you're down in Florida or down in the southeastern United States, you can try letstalkfaith.com. That's the website for Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa. And or you can go to whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. That's our home station, AM 1220, The Word, here in Independence, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And you can listen online that way pretty easily as well. So there are a lot of ways that you can get us. Hope you'll tune in. And we're going to get back to our callers here in just a minute. We've got Barb on hold. We were talking about a little bit about the Trinity and some other things, and then we've got Frank waiting patiently as well after that. So we'll get to you in just a moment. Just a reminder, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And a reminder that we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And if you're in northeastern Ohio, check us out check out Garfield Heights, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And we also mention this because even though a lot of people are out of the area, but maybe there's somebody that's looking at starting a pizza shop or adding a good pizza recipe to your existing restaurant. Well, if you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. Not a franchise. It's his pizza recipe. He developed it himself. And if you give him a call, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and he can help you get started. Just give him a call, 216-341-9100, and we're going to get back to our callers here tonight. And one more thing I want to remind you, pray for us. We are broadcasting, of course, not only in Northeast Ohio, but Tampa, Florida, and our contract in Tampa ends at the end of the month, and we re-signed so that we can continue down there, but it's a step of faith, so pray for us, and we're glad to be able to be a part of the Tampa Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN radio family. All right. Well, Barb has been hanging on there waiting. And Barb, welcome back to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We were talking about the Trinity, I believe, before the break, weren't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and let me give you this thing. I kind of hit it real quick there at the end. And, you know, like you, you've probably heard a number of things in your life of trying to define the Trinity, trying to describe it, trying to help people understand it. You know, I've heard things like, as a man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm also a son, you know, and things like that, you know, different things. I've also heard the description, well, ice, you know, it exists as a solid, a liquid, or steam. I used to say, well, it's kind of like a triangle, like an equal lateral triangle where all sides and angles are the same. And so you got three distinct sides, but it's one triangle. And but the best thing that I think that I've found is when you can find a Bible passage that helps describe it. And that's what we have here when God said in Genesis 1, let us make, in verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And he uses that plural because the word God, Elohim, that we have is, you know, like we talk about a baseball team or a football team. When we use the word team, we recognize we're not talking about one person. We're talking about a group of people who compose one team. And so this speaks of the plural nature of God. And then in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And we switch to the singular pronoun there, which emphasizes the singularity of God. So it's one God. You know, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And so when God formed Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He formed a body, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And and that the breath has to do with the spirit. In fact, the word breath and spirit are often synonymous in the scripture. And man became a living soul. So you and I and everybody listening has a body. We wouldn't need doctors and things if we didn't have a body, would we? Because the body is prone to sickness and everything because of sin, the curse that's on this world. But we also have a spirit in that body, and we have a soul. And I look at it this way. This is a picture of the Trinity of God, the Godhead. Not that we're little gods, but we're in the image of God. We're like him. God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. So it doesn't take much to see the analogy. The body would be it would be analogous to God the Son, which is where we see the physical manifestation of God. The spirit obviously would be analogous to God the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And then that leaves the soul to be analogous to God the Father. And when you look at the Godhead working in the scriptures, God the Father makes the plans, gives the direction, and God the Son is who interacts with the physical universe. We see, you know, the appearances of God. God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And then it's the Spirit of God that communicates with man through our spirit. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, our spirit's made alive, and our spirit bears witness to God's spirit, or I should say God's spirit bears witness to our spirit. And so as a result, you know, we're in the image of God. And, you know, so when Jesus was on earth in his manifest in the incarnation, he came, of course, as the baby that grew up and then went to the cross, you know, you could see where God the Son could look up and pray to God the Father. You see how that works?
Could we say that we are one in the Spirit?
Well, when we commit ourselves to Christ, when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, yeah, we're one in the Spirit with him. And and that's what the Bible says, that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we belong to him, that we're his. And so we're brought into that close communion with him, where we're adopted into his family. And so when we see in heaven, for instance, so let's say in Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven and he sees the events unfolding in heaven, and he sees the throne of God with the four creatures surrounding the throne, and the 24 elders surrounding the throne. And at one point they have the seven sealed book, and they ask who's worthy to open it. And there's nobody worthy until the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, I should say, comes. And when you see the Lion of the tribe of Judah come in Revelation 4, he appears as a lamb that has been slain. Well, that's none other than God the Son. So we see God the Son, but we also can see the manifestation of God the Father in that case there. And then we also see the Spirit of God manifested in seven ways. It says the seven spirits of God. Well, that's not seven separate Holy Spirits. That's seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God can manifest himself many ways if he wants to, all at the same time, because he's outside of time and space. So all of space cannot contain him.
Thank you for shedding some light on that.
Yeah,
I appreciate you and just keep us in your prayer.
And certainly. And you know, the wonderful thing is, when we're going through distresses, that's where the Spirit of God comes into play. God's Spirit comes into commune with our spirit and give us reassurance, give us comfort, give us peace. And that's an amazing thing. That's where Jesus said, remember, he said that he was going to go so the Comforter could come. And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, that Spirit, that the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, comes and takes up residence in us. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
What a blessing. The Comforter literally is in us, giving us comfort and peace.
This world is not our home.
That's right. So that's why...
And I won't keep you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that call tonight, Barb. And we will pray, and I know our listeners will be praying for you and praying for your health needs. And you know, one of these days, sometimes I think as we get older and the aches and pains increase, and all of us have seen those ahead of us go that route and we start aging and going that route ourselves, I think it makes us look more and more longingly to the day that we can be in heaven, doesn't it?
Amen.
So, well, we'll pray for you, and I know our listeners will as well, Barb. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. We've got Frank, who's been patiently waiting. And, Frank, welcome to the program tonight. Do we still have Frank there?
Munson, and good to hear about Barb. You know, she's going through a lot of folks are, and I'm glad she's calling in.
Yeah.
I think we as Christians should have more effective ways of dealing with pain and suffering in this world. And I'll tell you what, after that one woman in the Bible, she went to how many doctors her whole life, spent all her life saving.
Right.
And you know what? It reminds me, she didn't get any better.
No.
Until she went to the great physician.
And with faith, she reached out and touched him.
Yes. And I believe that's true today. And I just ask that the audience would pray that somebody would be raised up. And I do believe there's believing physicians and healthcare workers that are outside the system that have a lot more effectiveness than many of these hospitals. I'm saying that as a just a quick reminder of how a lady went to be with the Lord, 98 years young, and unfortunately she was in hospice care, and she was doing pretty good until then. So it just reminds me, as I work with people that are convalescent, that this world really doesn't have much to offer. But believers do, because, hey, we're in touch with a great physician.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's amazing is how many things he created, you know, to help bring healing and to alleviate pain and suffering. And, you know, and that's a whole other area we could explore sometimes too. But you're absolutely right, Frank. I appreciate you calling.
Well, maybe we could talk something about convalescent care someday if you wanted to have it as a topic, euthanasia. I had a hard time finding things on YouTube that had too many believers talking about it, but that's just something that's been on my heart. But right now, I just want to mention something that came to mind as you were talking to the gentleman a little while ago in Acts chapter 2, and you have a wonderful gift of a pastor, a teaching pastor, and I really appreciate the way you teach. You make it so clear. Well, one thing that came to my mind as I was struggling with that passage he was struggling with in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now,
and it hinges on the definition of that word "for."
That is a big part of it, although I wanted to go back and see what the Bible comments on that, because I prayed about it, and as a Baptist, I always thought that that was a water baptism. And although I will give it to you, I don't debate it. It could be. However, after looking back prior to this, you know, clearly, like you said, Peter was preaching a gospel message to unbelieving Jews that they could put their faith in the Messiah, Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Anointed. Go back, if you would, chapter number 1, verse 5.
All right. Acts chapter 1, verse number 5.
For John truly baptized with water. Now, that's clear enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get any clearer than that. John the Baptist. Now, he goes on and says, but you, that's Jesus speaking to us, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Yes,
now, we know there's different forms of baptism.
And for our listeners, of course, the word baptized, simply the basic word that we get that we translate as baptized, baptized, and baptizer and things like that, has to do with immersing into a liquid and bringing up out of it. So when we look at that, you know, you could almost, in every case, just substitute the word immersed, and you'll carry the sense of it. And that's what John did. John the Baptist, he immersed with water, and he says, you're going to be baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost. And that, of course, was fulfilled right there on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2.
Not many days since.
Yeah, because remember in verse number 8, he said, where he said to tarry. But he told them to tarry there because they would receive power after that. In verse 8, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that's what happened there. They're not many days hence. You're exactly right. The Holy Ghost, they were immersed in the Holy Ghost, so to speak. And just like Paul in Romans talks about being baptized unto his death, burial, and resurrection. So the word can be an expression.
Well, that's what I was thinking, Pastor Al, because you have, you know, defining what type of baptism that was in verse chapter 2:38 is really one of those things that I was struggling with. Okay, now if it's not clear in the verse, I just realized, well, maybe it's just one of those things the Lord will reveal later, or it's just not as important as it needs to be because there's so much else written about that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's plenty written about, for instance, Peter's whole message.
Oh yeah,
repent, which means to change your thinking or change think differently about, which was this person whom you said was a criminal. You crucified him. You know, change your mind. This is your actual Messiah. This is
right.
Jesus the Anointed. And then what happened when they were baptized, or rather when they repented, when they put their faith in the right Savior?
That's when they got the remission of sins.
Yeah. And so automatically that happened.
Now, where I would argue that Acts 2 verse 38 is talking about water baptism there as opposed to receiving the Holy Ghost, is because it talks about receiving the Holy Ghost at the end of the verse, where it says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying this is a conclusive statement, but it would seem to me that, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And again, I say for there means because of the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So let's take baptism out of that sentence for the moment. I'll read it without baptism in there. Repent in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you take baptism out of there, that little clause that deals with baptism, it still makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and really, I think either way, it's not like I said, it's not a point of contention with me.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that people need to realize that water baptism is not regenerative; it will not.
Oh, exactly. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. What's regenerative is when we turn to Christ in faith and we repent and we trust Christ as our Savior, and that's what Peter was talking about here. You know, turning away from our sin and turning away from what we think is right. Because so many people today, they think, I'm not such a bad guy. I go to church. I'm a member of a church. Didn't that take care of everything? And we got to come to the point where we're like that publican that said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we admit, I'm not good enough. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means me. I deserve hell because I'm a sinner and I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And when we repent, God says in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says God puts his righteousness on us. So Yeah, and that's the important thing. And I'm glad you're making that point there, Frank. Got another caller waiting patiently too. Okay. Anything real final, quick to say?
Oh, just when you get a chance, this might help that gentleman. Is Acts, same book, 10:47, chapter 10, verse 47. Okay, these people were believers. They were already saved, but they were not yet baptized. I'll just
yeah. Okay, that's great. That's great.
On the other.
Well, thank you much, Frank. I appreciate that, and God bless. And we've got it coming down here to the wire here, but we've got Joyce, who's been patiently waiting tonight. Joyce, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, Pastor Al. Thanks for taking my call. And I just had a couple things to say about the Trinity and about Peter and baptism.
Uh-huh.
And I think you did mention, or someone mentioned, about John baptizing.
Right.
Repent and be baptized. But mm-hmm. when we look at it dispensationally, we know that that was under the law.
Yeah, that was where John was, because John was the last of the Old Testament prophets, even though he appears in the Gospels.
Right, and they were still, the Jews were still looking for their Messiah mm-hmm. to come and set up the kingdom. And so that's why John had that kind of a baptism. But when we get over to Acts, now, that's a book of transition,
mm-hmm.
because they had been under the law. Peter and the rest had been under the law, and this is why, and they too believed the same way of baptism. And that's what happened was when Jesus told them to wait and tarry until the Holy Spirit came.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the doctrine for the church then was given to Paul, because then you're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and believing in the blood of Jesus for baptism.
Right. But to be fair, because Acts is a book of transition, one of the reasons that Paul was telling them that they should be baptized and also telling, let me go back to say that he was telling them to repent, is he was telling them, stop looking at the law and thinking the law is going to justify you. You need to realize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that he died on the cross and he rose again. And so he was trying to get them to turn from the law to God's grace.
You're not talking about John.
No, well, that's what Peter was saying. We're in Acts chapter 2. He preached his message there, he presented the Messiah there, and he presented Messiah as the Christ.
Does he preach the blood?
Yes.
Paul does.
Peter was like I said, leading into it. He connected.
He was still going to the Jew.
Yeah, he connected the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the Old Testament prophecy that David made in Psalm 16, and he projected that as being fulfilled in Christ, in that God raised up Jesus from the dead, showing that he is the Messiah. And they understood the principle of blood because, you know, they understood the blood sacrifice. In fact, later on in the book of Hebrews, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's remission, meaning, you know, remission of sins. And Peter was talking about how that Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified. He shed his blood on that cross. And that's what convicted them. The Holy Spirit, I believe, convicted their hearts. And so he was telling them, you need to turn away from the Old Testament law, and you need to embrace the grace that God has to offer through the cross. So he was using that. In fact, when we come a little further in Acts, we see Peter and Paul. But I'm out of time. I want to thank you for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.